Good morning, guys. Welcome to DrBoyceTV.com, the home for intelligent black people. Today, I want to talk about Colin Powell. I had another broadcast I was going to do that I moved back to this afternoon. It's going to be interesting. I'm going to break down the amount of stock that members of Congress own in big pharma companies and why this should concern you. And some of you may, if you're really a follower of the channel, you might have noticed that I was going to actually do that broadcast. I scheduled it for this time. But then my wife came downstairs, and she's so pretty. Whenever she walks by, I always look at her. And I said, what's going on, baby? She said, Colin Powell just died. And so I thought that it would be worth taking the time to kind of eulogize Colin Powell and talk about the brother in terms of what he represented, give you some background on Colin Powell, and to let you all know just from the jump, you know, I fundamentally have respect for Colin Powell, but that does not mean he does not have a mixed legacy. That doesn't mean that there aren't some complications in his life. So first of all, I want to say RIP to Colin Powell. He's with the ancestors right now. And there's a few things to talk about. So first of all, good morning, everybody. Good morning. So good to see all of you. So Colin Powell died today at 84 years old. He's 84, which to me, 84, you know, it's a pretty relatively long life. That means that he got some good time in. I'd love to live to be 84. I think that's pretty good. You know, especially for a soldier. I mean, my gosh, you know, he was a veteran. He served his country. I respect him for that immensely. And but you know, there's a lot to the life of Colin Powell that, you know, I wouldn't blame you if you had some issues with some of the ways that he conducted himself politically. Now, Colin Powell stood out to me largely because he was the only Republican, I think, who could have really challenged Barack Obama in the 2008 election. I think that if Colin Powell had run against Barack Obama in 2008 or 2012, I believe that Colin could have defeated Barack, or at least given him a run for his money, because Colin was, you know, seen by a lot of people as a relatively decent guy, at least for a Republican. You know, in fact, I remember in 2008, if I'm not mistaken, he deviated from the Republican Party and voted for Barack Obama. I don't know if y'all remember that, but he literally went and said that he wasn't going to vote for Barack Obama. Now Paul is asking a question about did he get the jab? Here's the deal. So Colin did die from they're saying he died from complications of the virus. I'm not going to say the words because I don't want to set off the YouTube bots. But yeah, he did die from the virus. Now, what is interesting, though, and this is a great question, was, you know, Corey says, yes, he did get the jab, but he had cancer. Yeah. And I think that that's an interesting thing, right? Here's what I pick up on in terms of not to speculate on how this man died or anything like that. But here's what I see, right? I would never ever tell anybody that the virus wasn't real. I think that hopefully we all agree that it's real. And if we don't agree, then maybe that's something we just don't agree on. But we know the virus is real. But the people that tend to be hit by the virus the most tend to be elderly people. When you look at the data and you look at the people who died and you look at the average ages and things like that, you pretty much find that when you get past the age of, or below the age of 70 or even below the age of 60, more specifically, the numbers really dwindle down to very little, right? Like you get more people that die from, a lot more people that die from heart disease, cancers, strokes, everything else, right? So, you know, really this is something that really hit the elderly and vulnerable populations, people with weak immune systems, people with obesity, you know, things like that, right? And that's just the facts. I mean, you can go look at the CDC website and you can confirm all this information in terms of who was actually hit the most. So Colin being 84 means he was definitely vulnerable. He was definitely vulnerable. Also, cancer, I can tell you, I have relatives who've had cancer. And one thing that cancer does, the treatment of cancer weakens your immune system, right? So, so the reality is that when you're in that situation, you're 84 years old, you're a cancer survivor, and I believe Colin was a cancer survivor. Maybe I'm wrong, but the cancer survivor, you know, that's going to weaken your immune system. That's why another guy, I remember Herman Cain was 76 years old. He also died, and everyone said, this proves that the virus is going to kill everybody. And I said, yeah, but he was 76 and he survived cancer. And if anybody knows anything about it, you know, again, I'm not a cancer expert, but I talk to a lot of doctors. My sister is a medical doctor, right? And I have a lot of other doctors around me, right? I don't just come out here just spitting out random information. But if you know anything about cancer, it doesn't exactly help your immune system, right? And one of the things I think we've become pretty clear on is that the virus attacks those who have weakened immune systems first. So again, this is not me speculating on what you should think about the virus, but you know, a healthy 10-year-old shouldn't look at what happened to an 84-year-old and say, oh my God, I could be next. Your healthy 10-year-old child is probably not going to go out in that same way. Okay. Let's at least be rational here, you know, and it's hard to do that in a world where everybody's so emotionally triggered and germaphobes are everywhere where they think, you know, there's a deadly virus behind every corner. I'm not one of those people, to be honest with you. Now, do me a favor, please hit the thumbs up button, hit the share button, hit the subscribe button. There's my website, by the way, boycewatkins.com. So if you want a free e-copy of my book, It Takes a Village to Raise the Bar, please go to boycewatkins.com. So let me talk a little bit about Colin Powell. Let me just, you know, first of all, I want to say, I don't know how anybody feels about this. I'd like to ask y'all a question. I'd like to ask you a question. Give me one word answer, good or bad. When you think about the legacy of Colin Powell, is it a good legacy or bad legacy? Now, obviously, the big answer would probably be a mixed legacy. But I want to know, you know, does the good outweigh the bad? So put good if you think his legacy is good. Put the word bad if you think his legacy is bad. I'd like to know what you guys think. You know, think of it like a business, right? You have revenues and you have expenses. Did the revenues exceed the expenses, or did the expenses exceed the revenues? Did you get a profit, or did you get a loss? Was Colin's life a profitable life or a loss for the world, for the Black community? Okay, I see Greg G says good. Levon says bad. Joshua says good. Let's see. I saw the next person said bad. Isaiah says bad. Yeah, this is about what I thought. I thought that it would be mixed. Okay, I see great. Okay, Myron says great. Andre says B1. Okay, B1 to you too. Lolita says good. All right. So it's somebody said badish. That's a good one too. All right, like the show Blackish. That's probably the best. That's probably how I would describe Colin Powell's legacy. Is I would shuffle between good and bad. I would say good overall, because I felt personally, based on my personal bias, that Colin Powell did more good for the world than bad. Right. I like Colin because Colin represented. I wasn't a Republican. I've never been a Republican, but at that time I was probably more of a Democrat. In fact, Obama kind of honestly changed me from being a Democrat, because I was so hopeful that this man would do well. I actually, if you go back to maybe 2006, I remember I was one of the first people on CNN to say, I think this guy could beat Hillary Clinton. And at that time he was way behind Hillary in the polls. And I saw something in him where I said, there's something special about this dude. He might actually do something here. And I supported him. I mean, completely, you know. And I think that it was the sadness of that presidency where the Democrats just got a little bit lazy. This benign neglect policy got out of control. And they said, we got Black people eating off the tip of our finger. We could do whatever we want. And I think he lost a lot of Black support because of it. Let's just keep it real. So with Colin Powell, that guy, actually, I respected the fact that he deviated. He jumped ship from the Republicans to vote for Obama. I respected him for that. Also, he isn't a guy. He didn't come off like a puppet, you know, and he was the kind of guy. I was really disappointed with Colin's political career when the whole Iraq war thing happened. I felt that that the what they call the military industrial complex. I believe the Bushes, you know, with all the interest they have in oil companies and all that, I believe that they used Colin Powell to get him to go out in front of the UN to give that terrible speech where he was basically saying Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. And this dove the United States into a 20-year, $2 trillion debacle that cost, you know, thousands of lives, that where it's completely unnecessary. And I think that was probably the darkest part of his legacy as a politician. It was one of those things where he couldn't get it back. People should hold him accountable for that. And it was a problem because he leveraged his credibility and the respect that many people like myself had for him to go in there and just tell a damn lie. Now, I don't know if he got lied to. I don't know if he was part of the lie. Nobody really knows. And just keeping it 100, that's probably the one thing that really stood out in terms of just something that he did that was almost, you know, kind of unforgivable, really. Now, but that doesn't make him an R. Kelly, right? That doesn't make him this horrible person that has no productive legacy, right? I think with Colin, the fact that he was a quote unquote good Republican, whatever that means, you know, and able to and not committed overly committed to this Democrat Republican thing. I personally believe that the best approach. I agree with Malcolm X. Malcolm X used to say black people shouldn't be Democrats or Republicans. They need to just jump back and forth and negotiate between sides and say which one's going to give us the better deal. I think when you overcommit early, all negotiation theory shows that when you overcommit early, you lose, right? Whether you're talking about, you know, a relationship, somebody you think about dating somebody, when you give up all the cookies early, then you lose, you're losing negotiating power. If you go buy a car and you overcommit to the car early, every person, every expert in negotiation will tell you that you're going to lose, right? Same thing with politics. Black people negotiate, they give up the cookies too early, you overcommit too early, next thing you know, you lose. Even on the basketball court, if you overcommit to going right, then they can easily stop you. But if you let them know, but I might go right, I might go left, right? You juke a little bit, what happens? You can find your way to the basket. Black people need to learn how to juke a little bit politically. Like, well, we might be Democrats, we might be Republicans, we might be, right? If you do that, then you win. So don't be stupid. Seriously, don't be, somebody type that in the chat, like, don't be stupid. Let's type the word, don't be stupid, because I really want us to grow up and evolve politically. You don't owe these white folks nothing. Like, you don't owe them nothing. Why are you so damn loyal to either the Democrat or Republican Party? Why are you committing in advance? Why are you overcommitted to the point where they could do anything? They could literally walk up to you and take a dump on your children, and you're still like, well, you know, it is the lesser of two evils, and I do still need to make sure I shows up to the polls to give them my support. Come on, man. This is not slavery. Get off the step and fetch it routine. Anyway, do me a favor. Hit the thumbs up button. Hit the share button, hit the subscribe button. You guys know that we are just a few days away from the All Black National Convention. It's going to be in Orlando. You can actually attend virtually, but it's better to attend in person, because we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have everything from a spades tournament to a B1 ball and award ceremony to speed dating to a backyard barbecue, in addition to 60 speakers that we're bringing in, 60 black speakers who are there to help solve problems in our community. This is probably the first of its kind. I don't think there's ever been an event like this with this many speakers that wasn't sponsored by a corporation. You know, like Congressional Black Caucus, that convention is sponsored by corporations everywhere. NAACP, brought to you by McDonald's, brought to you by Walmart. We don't do any of that because we need freedom of speech in order to achieve our goal. So we've even brought in people like Riza Islam, who is, you know, definitely not going to be invited to the Congressional Black Caucus event, right? But we want to hear from the brother because we want to hear his point of view, in addition to the people that might disagree with RZA. So if you're interested, feel free to go to allblacknationalconvention.com. The URL's on the screen, and you can take a look. We also have a whole educational track for children, so your children will be transformed as a result of coming to the convention, and they're going to have a lot of fun. So if you're B1 and that's your thing, come on out to the convention. We're going to be in Orlando October 29th through November 1st. We sold out of discounted hotel rooms, but there are still rooms available at the hotel at regular price, and there are also lower cost hotels in the area if that's what you need. We're going to provide a list on the website today, and also we are out of vendor spaces. We sold out of vendor spaces, but we do have a couple spaces for sponsors. So if you have a black owned business and you'd like to sponsor, we'll promote your business. I'll tell everybody on my channel. I talk to a million people a week. I will tell everybody about your business and get you some customers. So it's going to be a fair trade. Okay, so allblacknationalconvention.com. Hit the thumbs up button. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about Colin Powell for a second. Okay, so Colin Powell, one thing that was really funny is he had a great sense of humor, apparently, or at least he pretended to have a great sense of humor. And he did something. Anybody remember when Colin Powell put up a picture from like the 1940s, I think, or maybe 1950s or 60s, maybe the 40s is too old, but he said this is the first selfie ever. And here's the picture, right? So he literally took a selfie. He took a picture of himself back when he's like much, much younger. I guess, I don't know. I'm gonna guess maybe he looks like he's a teenager here, maybe 20 years old. I'm guessing. So if he's a teenager, that would make it the 1960s. But I thought that was really funny. When I thought about him, I thought about the selfie. And also, I think that he was a guy who, you know, if he'd run for president, I think he would have had a good chance of winning. I think that he was a guy. I respected him also because this man did two tours of Vietnam. I don't know if y'all know that or not. Two tours of Vietnam. And if you know anything about Vietnam, you know that it was an absolute hellhole. I apologize profusely to anybody in here who served in Vietnam. I want to say thank you for your service. And I am so sorry that people did not give you the respect you deserve. My daddy went to Vietnam. My uncle went to Vietnam. And Vietnam caused a lot of problems for the black community. We brought home a lot of baggage. You have a lot of men that died, of course. You have a lot of men that were lied to. My history teacher taught me about something that a lot of people don't know about. It was a little short, little white man that used to teach me history at the University of Kentucky. And he had a lot of energy, and he would jump around the classroom, and everybody loved him. And he talked about Vietnam. And give me a yes or no. Has anybody ever heard of Project 100,000? Has anybody heard about Project? Give me a yes or no if you heard anything about Project 100,000. Give me a yes or no. Let me see. I'm going to see if there's any yeses. Okay, I see some yeses. Okay, Debt-Free Dad says yes. Yeah, Project 100,000. Let me tell you what Project 100,000 was. Project 100,000 was basically where they said, okay, we're going to do a rope-a-dope on the black community. Since black people are vulnerable and black people aren't, there's some images of the Vietnam War, just in case you forgot. You know, since black people will believe anything we say, and since black people are, you know, economically and politically desperate, and because we can't get white people to go over to Vietnam anymore now because they're realizing what kind of a hellhole it is, they said, we're going to go to the hood and we're going to go to every hood in America and we're going to find young black men who want to do better with their lives. And we're going to take advantage, we're going to exploit their ambition by promising them that if you go into the military, we're going to hook you up. We're going to hook you up with good jobs and training. We're going to hook you up with skills that you're going to bring back to your community. We're going to put you in a nice uniform so you can make your mama proud and you can actually become somebody. And so these guys, 100,000 of them, that was their goal, to get 100,000 black men. They literally use you like you are a bunch of pigs, like pigs or cows or chickens. That's why you can't trust politicians. I'm sorry. I don't feel like you can trust them on any level because they're just liars. And later on today, actually, I'm going to explain to you why. Like, for example, a lot of people don't know that members of Congress, does anybody know what the fifth most owned stock is of members of Congress? The number five most owned stock of members of Congress is Pfizer. They own millions of dollars in Pfizer stock. They own millions of dollars in Johnson & Johnson. Johnson & Johnson's number eight. I'm going to actually break this down today later on. This was actually the podcast I was going to do today until I found out about Colin Powell, and I felt like I want to respect the brother and go ahead and do this first. But later on today, this afternoon, if you come back to the channel, I will show you all the crazy financial conflicts of interest that they have where they literally profit so much from getting you jabs and pushing drugs out to you that you just can't trust them. It doesn't mean that they're lying. It just means the credibility shot, right? So this Project 100,000 was another example where black people were being used and exploited, and they're using you right now in this pandemic. They're making you the face of everything. They make you the face of every stupid agenda that they want to push forward. They make you the face of the gay agenda. They make you the face of the jab agenda, right? They made you the face of the Vietnam agenda, right? So this is something that's consistently occurred all throughout history. So Project 100,000, we deserve reparations. That's yet another thing, probably the 10th thing on the list of reasons why America owes black people reparations. You probably are owed $1 trillion in reparations just for Project 100,000 alone. You got to understand, you got to stop minimizing your pain. You got to stop acting like your people never went through nothing. You got to stop acting like it's all okay. It ain't okay. It ain't okay. You know, in fact, how many of y'all got some uncle or some relative who went to Vietnam and ain't been right since? Ain't took care of his kids, so his children are out here in the street doing God knows what, right? Was hooked on drugs, couldn't get it together, PTSD. Like crazy. I mean, I'd have PTSD. My God, Vietnam was terrible. That shit was horrible. Horrible. Right? Seriously. And those members of Congress, they ain't sending their kids to Vietnam. They weren't sending their children to war. They did the same thing in Iraq. They did. Michael Moore made that point very well. Michael Moore went up to Congress and he brought a draft form and handed that to members of Congress who voted in favor of the war. And he said, well, you have a son that's military age. Would you sign your son up to go to the draft? And they were like, no, who let you in? Who let you in? Right? Because these are a bunch of cowards. These are a bunch of damn liars. Right? And so I'm sorry, but get your advice from somewhere else. Don't spend your time getting advice from the liars in the room or the people that are manipulating you or exploiting you. Or if you telling me to eat something, take something, drink something, or go do something, I need to watch you do it first. You first. Like there's a whole hashtag them first. Them first. You do it first. You want me to send my child to war? Well, send your kids to war first, and we'll see how that works out. Or you want me to get something put in my body? Okay. Well, you do it first. Oh, well, we can't mandate members of Congress to go get the jab. You know, y'all saw that, right? Where they were like, we want to mandate it for you so you can get the job, but we're not going to mandate it for ourselves or for each other. I mean, come on, man. How blatant do they have to be to make you realize that you can't trust these motherfuckers as far as you can throw them? I'm sorry. I don't mean to cuss on a Monday morning, but I mean, my God, like, if that's not a sucker's paradise, I don't know what is. And so, I don't believe you. I just am not convinced that those people care about my family as much as I do. Like, I'm not convinced of that, right? So call me crazy, call me radical. I'm a radical black man because I'm trying to say, let's have some damn common sense. And it's unbelievable to me. So anyway, by the way, my Instagram is The Real Boyce Watkins. Hope you'll follow me on the gram. I need more intelligent black people to follow me on the gram because I don't debate with stupid people. Also, intelligentblackpeople.com actually is where you can actually support the platform. You can become a patron if that's something that you believe in. We'd love to have your support, and we give you lots of free stuff and things like that. So feel free to go to intelligentblackpeople.com. So let me just give the quick summary on Colin Powell. The brother, to me, overall, despite, you know, some of the challenges with his legacy, I give Colin Powell a thumbs up. I'm not saying that you're wrong if you disagree with me, but I don't think that everything he did in his life was wrong. And I will admit that I have a deference to soldiers. I have a mad respect for soldiers, because, you know, my daddy went to Vietnam, and let me tell you, he came back and, he had a heroin addiction. You know, he told me that later in his life, and he walked away from heroin. I don't think most people can walk away from heroin, you know, and he did that. He said, because I wanted to be your father. He was not my biological father. He was a quote unquote stepfather, but we don't use the word step in our house. He's not my stepfather. And he did 1,000 times more for me as my non-biological father than my biological father did. My biological father died, and he didn't get a hero's exit in my mind. I didn't hate him. I just didn't know the man. I didn't know anything about him. I didn't love him. I didn't hate him. Didn't have any feelings for him. In my mind, though, my father, who went to Vietnam, who sacrificed, and I saw him at war as a black man for over 40, 50 years for our family. That is a hero to me. You know, that was a man who said, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get it done. I ain't scared of nobody. You know, he's actually had to kill people to protect his own life. And this man to me represents something that should be honored and respected. And so not to say my father and Colin Powell are the same, but when you look at a man who did two tours of Vietnam, I mean, shit, come on now. You know, and also a guy who did serve his country, you know, for the most part, relatively honorably. There were some mixed legacies in there. I think overall, Colin deserves respect. And here's another little side note on war. I believe that the only people that should be allowed to vote on whether or not we go to war as a country are people who've actually been in a war, or at least people who've served in the military. I'm tired of these little bumpy ass Yale and Harvard educated, you know, people who've never, you know, like stubbed a toenail, voting to send, you know, millions of young people, vulnerable, gullible young people off to war, having them thinking they're defending democracy and patriotism when really you're going over and fighting for the oil companies. Really, you're going over there fighting for resources. That's what it is. You're fighting for the military industrial complex. Companies like Raytheon are making money, making weapons so you can fight worthless wars. The Afghan war was the latest example. We left Afghanistan in a puddle of embarrassment. We were absolutely humiliated in Afghanistan. And I would be furious if I had put my life on the line or watched my friends die or lost a child. Also, our country could make a few billion. So wealthy people can make a few $100 billion and we could walk away looking like complete assholes and losers. Right. It's pathetic. And actually, for Colin, let me just read a little bit from his bio, just in case you want a little quick history lesson on Colin Powell. He was born actually in 1937, April 5th. He was an American politician, diplomat, and four-star general who served as the 65th United States Secretary of State from 2001 to 2005. He was the first African-American Secretary of State prior to the election of Barack Obama as president in 2008. He and his successor, Condoleezza Rice, were the highest-ranking African-Americans in the history of the federal executive branch by virtue of the Secretary of State standing fourth in the presidential line of succession. He served as the 16th United States National Security Advisor from 1987 to 1989 and the 12th Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff from 1989 to 1993. Powell was born in New York City in 1937 and was raised in the South Bronx. South Bronx. His parents, Luther and Maude Powell, immigrated to the United States from Jamaica. He was educated in the New York City public schools, graduating from the City College of New York, where he earned a bachelor's degree in geology. He also participated in ROTC at CCNY and received a commission as an Army second lieutenant upon graduation in June 1958. Powell was a professional soldier for 35 years, during which time he held many command and staff positions and rose to the rank of four-star general. He was commander of the U.S. Army Forces Command in 1989. Powell's last assignment from October 1989 to September 1993 was as the 12th chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the highest military position in the Department of Defense. During this time, he oversaw 28 crises, including the invasion of Panama in 1989, Operation Desert Storm in the Persian Gulf War against Iraq in 1990-91. He formulated the Powell Doctrine, which limits American military action unless it satisfies criteria regarding American national security interests, overwhelming force, and widespread public support. Interesting. So the Powell Doctrine. So there's a doctrine named after him. So I like this. I mean, and this doctrine makes sense. It coincides with what I felt that Colin Powell represented, right? He represented a guy that I think had no fear of going to war, but he wasn't a war hawk. He wasn't a guy who just said, let's just go out here and get people killed for no reason. And I respect that a lot, actually. I think that's actually quite honorable. Let me click on here and read more about that. So the Powell Doctrine, it was a doctrine created in the run-up to the 1991 Gulf War. The doctrine poses questions emphasizing national security interests, overwhelming strike capabilities with an emphasis on ground forces, and widespread public support, all of which have to be answered affirmatively before military action is taken. Powell's doctrine is based in large part on the Weinberger Doctrine, devised by Caspar Weinberger during his tenure as Secretary of Defense. The Powell Doctrine states that a list of questions all have to be answered affirmatively before military action is taken by the United States. One, is a vital national security interest threatened? Two, do we have a clear, attainable objective? Three, have the risks and costs been fully and frankly analyzed? Four, have all other nonviolent policy means been fully exhausted? Five, is there a plausible exit strategy to avoid endless entanglement? We could have used that in Afghanistan, right? I mean, it's crazy, right? Let's see here. Six, have the consequences of our actions been fully considered? Seven, is the action supported by the American people? And eight, do we have genuine broad international support? So are other countries jumping in, or are we trying to do this unilaterally? I think that's a well thought out doctrine. I have a lot of respect for that. And who knows? I mean, this is the kind of shit that you could probably apply to everyday life. Because some of y'all just go to war with people and don't even think about the consequences. You start cussing out your own siblings and don't even think about what that's going to mean for the family. You're not thinking about whether or not this is going to actually have a healthy ending. And so next thing you know, you haven't talked to your brother for 30 years, right? So I like this. I think this is interesting. I didn't know this about Colin Powell. But either way, I know some of you were mentioning that Colin Powell was that he died from COVID. And it seems like that's the case. I'm going to assume that that's what really happened. But what I will say, though, is at the same time, I don't think that this in any way says, that COVID is going to kill everybody. I think he probably got the jab, right? Which right there, I mean, that kind of, I'm not saying that makes me more concerned, but it makes me a little bit concerned because there's still a lot of questions to be asked about all this stuff, right? And I think that even if you agreed to do it, which is fine, I support that, you can't say that there still aren't questions. You can't say that there aren't still things that are yet to be determined. And so the other thing, too, is that Colin was 84 years old. He survived cancer. In case you didn't know, and I mentioned this earlier, I'll mention it again, cancer weakens your immune system. So if you remember Herman Cain, who was a Black Republican, also like Colin Powell, he died from the virus. And he was a 76-year-old cancer survivor. And I can tell you, I have cancer survivors in my family, and I would never have them at a Republican convention not wearing a mask, right? I would say at least put on your mask. And you know, my father's old school. My father's an old school military veteran. He's not Democrat or Republican. He's just a black man. And he doesn't wear masks or anything like that. But also he does have health challenges where his immune system isn't very strong, right? But it's kind of his choice, right? It's his freedom, his choice to kind of say, you know, I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. And I think everybody has a right to live their life the way they want to live it. I just believe that. It doesn't mean you're wrong. It just means that I think freedom tends to be my default response to a lot of choices. Like, look, you're free to make whatever decision you want to make. But I know that people have different opinions, and I respect that. All right. So anyway, do me a favor, hit the thumbs up button, hit the share button, hit the subscribe button. I'm going to get on out of here. And also, if you want to learn more about the convention, you can go to allblacknationalconvention.com. The URL is on the screen. We're going to meet October 29th through November 1st. We're going to gather the Black Brain Trust, where we're going to solve problems, everything from relationships to politics to cryptocurrency and stock market investing. We have breakout sessions. We have a whole track for children. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have a ball and award ceremony. We're going to have spades tournament. We're going to have a backyard barbecue. So if you want to come out, come out and hang out with us. And actually, we just made some B1 shirts for those of you that are B1 that want to actually be a part of the movement or want to show people that you're a part of the movement. It's a hashtag. So I hope you use the hashtag B1 in public conversation. And B1 means Black first. That means that we put ourselves at the top of the priority list. We don't solve problems for other people before we solve problems for ourselves. It means that Black people matter. And that's something that we deeply believe in. And so actually, if you want to get a B1 shirt online, you can actually go to wokeblacktees.com. We'll sell them at the convention if you want to get one there. Or if you want to get one online, you can go to wokeblacktees.com. So feel free to go there if you want to get a B1 shirt for your family. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to get on out of here. And I hope you guys have a great day. And I'll be back later on because I actually prepared a whole presentation about the amount of stock that members of Congress own in big pharma companies. And it's going to kind of blow your mind. And you're going to kind of realize a basic assumption about our political leaders, which is a problem for me, which is that the drug dealers are basically running the police station. The conflicts of interest, the financial conflicts of interest are just almost sickening and frightening in terms of what your country has become. And it's something you should be aware of in terms of understanding the financial dynamics that are occurring. Because, you know, my PhD is in finance. So, and not just in finance, but specifically financial psychology. So one of the things about money is that money is a drug. And you think about this. If you have a relative that's hooked on crack, are you going to trust that relative? You know, they're on drugs. Are you going to believe the relative or are you going to believe the drugs? Who's making the decisions? Your cousin, or is the crack making your cousin's decisions? Well, the same thing is true with Congress. Are they making the decisions, or is the financial drug making the decisions? And most of what they have revealed on OpenSecrets.org about the financial interests of your members of Congress is that they have almost zero incentive to really do the right thing, and they have every incentive in the world to support big pharma, which unfortunately has created a lot of doubt and uncertainty in this whole pandemic. So I'm going to break it down for you later on today. I was going to do it now, but I moved the time because I wanted to show respect to my brother Colin Powell. So everybody type Colin in the chat. Let's even if you didn't like the brother, give him his respect. You know, he's with the ancestors right now. So I honor his life, and whether I agree with him or not, I think he was a decent human being, and I respect that. So anyway, I'm out of here, guys. Please hit the thumbs up, share, subscribe button. I will talk to you guys later. Please have a wonderful day. I'll see you later. Peace.
Here we are, clan the isms, cataclysm, great. Our people out here struggling, trying to make it in this state. Everybody out here doing it, but we the ones who late. Now family, we the ones who gotta delegate. Get that money in the power, never be fake. Stick to coach time for three, what did he say? Create jobs, support our own. Educate the same and buy back your home. Got 3 degrees, triple 10. 3 PhDs, now we on the CNN. DBTV, let's talk about negligence. Ignorance is bliss, but we can turn it to intelligence. Please, none of what you hear, half of what you see. Let's break it down here on Dr. Boyce TV. Here we are, clean.